Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
My name is Antonio, and I just am so excited again for what the Lord has put on my heart. I know it is a word for each and every one of us. I got so blessed in putting it together, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, Pastor Dan, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's probably the most excited I've been to preach a message ever, like, because I just know, like, I was like taking notes on my own notes, like, it's just really good. So let's go before the Lord. Let's open our Bibles. Can we do that? I'm going to put the verse up on the screen. We're reading out of the NASB, Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3, starting in verse number 3. We're going to go verse 3 through 9, a popular passage of scripture, but I want to read it to you, and I know God is going to speak something amazing to you tonight. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because there was no root, they were withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorn came up and choked them out. And the others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear who has hear, let him hear." So obviously, again, this is a passage that we've heard several times. It's in a couple of other gospel accounts, this story of a parable of the sower. And a parable is really just a story, a way that God can speak to us. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, like we're talking about. We need you to speak to us tonight, Father God. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive the word that you have to say, Father God. I pray, Lord God, let it not be my words, let it not be what I'm trying to say, Lord God, but you. Let me be a vessel, Jesus. As I step aside, as I decrease, you increase what you want to say, Father God. I know each and every person is in this place, not by accident, not by coincidence, but on purpose, with a divine appointment with you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for what you've already done and what you want to do here in this place. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
You know, this past week, March 20th, was the first official day of spring. Does anybody like spring? I love springtime. I love springtime. You know, it's a perfect mix. It's not too hot, but not too cold. I don't like being hot. Summertime is great in that there's long days, but I just don't like the heat. So springtime is a perfect mix for me because it's a little bit, you know, it's not too cold that you have to always be in a blanket, but it's warm enough to just enjoy the beautiful day without sweating too much, right? I don't know. I just like springtime for a number of reasons, one of which, when I was growing up, my parents are in the place today, and they are, I would call them green thumbs. I don't know if they would call themselves that, but I'll brag on them. They're quite the green thumbs. They love to plant and do different gardening things around the house, and as a child, I did not like that they were green thumbs. I didn't like that they were always trying to do something. My dad's idea of relaxation was pulling weeds. I thought he was crazy. I thought that was not cool at all. But it's what he liked to do. And so he liked to do it. So he made me and my brother do it. Somehow my older sister got away with it. She's not here to defend herself tonight. I don't know what she did. You know, she got to just do her own thing. But my brother and I, we always had to be up early on the weekends, pulling weeds, mowing the lawn. And so they were green thumbs, and springtime every year, I knew that we were going to have to do a lot of planting and gardening and things around the house. You know, I didn't like it for a number of reasons, one of which, let me rewind a little bit, because don't you know, parents, don't you love to hear these words, "You were right, Mom. You were right, Dad." Because in true fashion, as I've gotten older, what I used to hate, I now enjoy myself. I like to garden. I like to plant things. It is a way to relax my mind. It is kind of nice to, outside of the office, to be like, you know what? I'm going to go pull some weeds right now. So I understood what my mom and dad were saying. You know, so I, like I said, I enjoy gardening. So yesterday I had some free time. It was a beautiful day. I went and did some gardening around the house. Can we show my house and some of the stuff I did? Just kidding. That's not my house. That's not my house, but it's, you know, it's beautiful. We can see some beautiful flowers. One day in Jesus' name, I declare, we make a confession over a faith. Right here, it's all right, I'm not being greedy, I'm just confessing. But probably then I'll have someone do the plants for me because that's a little much. But as we can see, spring is beautiful. There's some great things, beautiful flowers, right? Well, one of the things that I didn't know and I didn't understand, one of the reasons I hated it is because it was just a lot of work. Because while there was plants, we'd go to Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever. I don't know if there was Lowe's back then, but there was a place called Home Base or Ace or different gardening places where we would go and get these plants. And you know, you get like a 2x2 plant, but we wouldn't dig a 2x2 circle. No, not us. We would have to dig big circles. And as the kids, we didn't get to do the fun part like put in the plants. We had to dig the holes. Right, we dug the holes. We'd have to do the manual labor while my parents get to come along, place the plant, put soil back in it, and water it. And oh my gosh, look at the fruit of our labor, right? So I did not like it. I did not understand why I would dig a big hole for such a small amount of seed or of dirt for this plant. Well, what my parents knew that I did not know was that in order to get a healthy plant, in order to get a healthy fruit, you got to have healthy soil. Amen? In order to get something healthy, you got to surround it with healthy soil. So we used to have what was called a compost pile. A compost pile. Now, I did some Google searches. Can we see? Does anyone know what a compost pile is? So this is a compost pile. I did a Google search. There was a beautiful compost pile. Ours looked nothing like this. This is all built out. Ours consisted of digging a hole in the backyard, just a big hole that we had to dig out. Again, we were digging, and what we would do is we would throw all what you would put in your green trash can today. I'm going to date myself a little bit. We didn't have like the green, brown, and blue, right? It was just all the trash cans got brought up to the curb, and there was actually trash man that actually got off the truck and loaded up. Do you guys remember that? Right, there was a day when all of it used to go at the same time. And so you would take all your, because we'd mow the lawn, so take all the clippings from all the hedges that we trimmed and all the lawns that we mowed, and we'd take them down to the compost, and we'd throw biodegradable food. We'd throw like banana peels and the rinds from watermelon and things like that. Anything that was biodegradable, we'd throw to the compost. We hated taking things down to the compost. It's at the way bottom of my parents' yard, so we'd take turns on who was going to have to take the stuff down to the compost. But yet we'd have to take this down. And again, here goes the wisdom of parents. Any parents in the house? I'm affirming you as parents. Parents know better. So what they were doing is they would put these piles, and it was this gross, yucky, smelly stuff. There'd be flies all around. But then what would happen when it was time to plant, we would take a shovel and you would rotate the compost and go through and take the gross stuff that's on the top. You'd rotate the compost. Whose turn is it to rotate the compost? And what you had when you flipped it over, you'd get this beautiful, rich soil. This beautiful, rich soil that you would use to plant things. Now, I don't know, this isn't part of the notes, but I don't know if you maybe feel like you're ugly, maybe feel like you're not, can't be used, maybe you feel like you have nothing worthwhile, but you mix it in with God and His richness of His nutrients, and you just turn that sucker over, and you got a new life. And you got a life that you can be used for. You know how you can be useful. It's beautiful. It's something that is rich and can bring life to other things around it. So here's this hole, big hole. Bring the compost over. Bring this good soil. Again, they knew something that we didn't understand, that it needs to have good soil. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, being good ground. Amen. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this title down. We're talking about the title, Producing a Good Harvest. Producing a Good Harvest. It's important to have good harvest in our life. You know, if I didn't need to have like a spiritual sounding title, I would probably make the title something like, Get Your Stuff Together, right? Or Step Your Game Up, or something that's gonna encourage us to make sure that we want to make sure that we're bringing good things into our life. But we wanna produce a good harvest in our life. There's all kinds of stories, including today's parable, to the scriptures that we saw today about how God was using everyday things that we could understand and put it to practice in our lives. See, the idea for this message came as I was reflecting after the men's conference a couple weeks ago. Did anyone go to the men's conference? Man, we had an amazing time at men's conference. Packed into 2 days was 6 different messages. 2 on Friday night, 4 on Sunday, power packed with awesome, amazing, healthy, rich word of God from amazing preachers, amazing teachers, life-changing messages. Man, the men of the Rock are forever changed. Amen? And then this scripture came to mind. Because I was thinking, like, man, I sat in a lot of church this weekend. And I wasn't even counting Sunday. Like, that's a lot of church. That's a lot of message. That's a lot of Bible. That's a lot of scripture and preaching and teaching. That's really good. But then I realized, you can sit in church all day. You can hear messages all day from amazing preachers and teachers. But that doesn't necessarily mean that word is falling on good ground. That doesn't necessarily mean that just because you sit in church, and maybe some of you are here today, where you grew up in church, you grew up going to church, maybe your parents drug you to church, maybe you had a spouse or a significant other that you go to church for to impress or to so they don't nag you or make get mad at you or whatever it might be. But nowhere can you find that because you just sit in church and hear a message, does that bring the transformation that we need to see in our lives? Now, it's a great start to be in church. Now, I'd rather you be here. But there's something that needs to take place if we want to see that transformation. There's something that we need to allow, that something that needs to shift in our hearts, in our mindset, and in our spirit that's going to allow us to produce good fruit in our lives. Does anyone want to produce good fruit? Does anyone want good things to happen around them? See, we're going to take a look at this scripture because, you know, the reality is, again, you can come, you can sit in this place, you can sit in the front row and get holy spit all over you. But that doesn't mean that something's transforming in your life. That doesn't mean that you're going to get good fruit just by nature of coming and sitting in a church. And the reality is that's not God's desire for your life. His desire isn't simply that you just come and hear a message and go home, because you can hear all kinds of things. But I know that the Rock Church and Outreach Center, I know that Overflow, I know that you people don't come just to punch an attendance card. I know that you don't come just because, oh my gosh, I better go to church so someone doesn't help me. I know that we are a people that is hungry for the Word of God. I know that we are people that understands the Word of God that says, I am the head and not the tail. I know that we know that the Bible says that whatever I touch shall prosper. I know that in my coming and in my going, it's gonna be good for me. I know that I don't have to look back. I can look forward to what God has for me in the future. That we are people that can believe that God has something amazing for us, that the Word says it, there are promises, our yes and amen. Amen. But for those people who don't know that, see, there's the difference between what we might know and we're getting a good word. Like I explained this morning, how we say church words like that was a good word, or that was healthy, or that was good things, when really what we're saying is there are principles that we hear in the Word of God that are going to edify, that are going to build us and help transform our life to be what we want. Because I don't think anyone comes to church, or that even doesn't come to church, that wants their life to go crummy. I don't think there's anyone that just wants their life to amount to nothing. We all want something better for our lives. We all want something better for our futures, for our children's futures. Amen? And so we can sit here today, and you can decide. You can decide to let this word, let this seed that's going forth, what you want to happen with it. I want to share a few thoughts with you. See, because I have a prophetic word for tonight, a word that's alive, a word that says ask. I believe the Lord is telling us to ask. There are people in this place that you want to have a new job. There are people that you want to be restored in your relationships. There are people you're believing for a career change, for an open door, for a closed door. The Lord is saying, ask for it. Ask for it and you shall receive it. See, because the Bible says that. The Bible says that we ask, seek, and knock. And too many times we don't ask because we're afraid that we won't get. So many times we don't ask. I love how Pastor Paul said a couple weeks ago that we don't ask because we don't feel like we deserve it. Can I tell you the truth? None of us deserve it, but God paid the price so that we could have it. So what do you need to ask for tonight? Are you believing for a child that needs to come back to the Lord? Or a spouse that is not saved that needs to come to the Lord? Or maybe a breakthrough in your finances because you don't know how you're going to pay the rent? Or you so desperately need a new job because you know the place that you're at in your life, if you continue down that road, it's not going to be where you have. Ask God for that change. Ask God for that life. Ask God for that soul. Ask God for that loved one. And watch to see what He does. Watch to see how He's faithful. Amen? That was a little bit off, but I know that God put that in my heart to tell you today, and I know that's a word for somebody. See, so we see in Matthew 13, I'm keep grabbing this water, I'm just going to drink, is that okay? Excuse me. Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, we saw the first part of this parable. And then he goes on for the next few verses, and he's explaining to the disciples how he uses parables to tell people things. How he's going to use the parables to tell people what's going on. And he breaks things down so simply. See, because we serve a God that speaks to us where we're at. God knew, Jesus knew that this was a horticulturalist society, that people would understand that they lived off the fruit of the land. They lived off of what they planted, off of what they harvested. So when we did, so an example would be if I was talking to a young generation, I would probably use metaphors and similes that are, you know, maybe about Fortnite or social media or something like that, right? So his audience, he was talking about planting seeds and being a sower because this is what they understood. This was a lot of their livelihoods. So God is a God who speaks to you where you're at. And God is speaking to you right where you're at. God has a word for you. Will you receive that word tonight? See, because there are words that come out of my mouth, but by the time they get to your heart and then your spirit, Holy Spirit transform them to be in the frequency that you need to know. See, and how does that happen? How do I know that? Because time after time, when I've delivered a message or when we've heard other preachers deliver a message, someone will come up to you. Someone will say, oh my gosh, that was so cool how you said this. I was like, I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit will change it to understand in a place and a frequency that you can understand. See, because God speaks to us where we're at. We serve a God that is amazing like that. He knows just what you need to hear. That's why I don't buy the idea. I don't buy the idea that I can't read the Bible. I don't understand it. Or I can't pray or read the Bible because I fall asleep. Tell me, is there any parents in the house? What parent would get mad if their child fell asleep in their arms? In the same way, if you're reading your Bible, if you're praying and you fall asleep, do you think God's mad at you? We serve a loving God. Not a God that's so mad like, I can't believe he fell asleep praying to me. I love when my baby girl falls asleep in my arms. Even my 8.5-year-old son. I'm going to have to carry him up the stairs. Mainly because he's quiet now, right? But look at that. God is a loving God. He's not a God that's mad. So I can't buy the idea that God needs to have us be a certain level of understanding, a certain academic level so that he can speak to us. He speaks to us right where we're at. So we pick up, and I'm so glad that this happens because he goes on to explain, Jesus explains what he meant in this parable. So in the first half, in verse 3 through 9, he says the parable, tells the disciples, look, I had to break it down for them, and otherwise they might not understand. And then now he explains it for the rest of us, starting in verse 18. But if you recall, there was four different seeds that went out, right? The sower threw out the seeds, and four different scenarios happened. And of those four, only one of them didn't fail. See, only they fell on different types of ground. They had different scenarios, different situations, right? We read them and we're going to go through them again. But if you realize, there was the one that took. There was the one that took. And of that one that took, not only did it succeed, but it thrived. Because God is a God of multiplication. God is a God who wants to multiply what you get. So you put a seed in the ground, he's going to give you 160 or 30-fold. Because that's the thing is, that's how God works. That's the principle of God. See, we get so afraid to put a seed in the ground. We get so afraid to sow a seed of speaking life over someone because we're afraid that it's going to fail. But don't you know that it's going to succeed and multiply itself? You're financially, I know, oh my gosh, here you go, talking about money. Watch you sow yourself a seed, and God is a God of multiplication. And I'm not saying we give to get, but it's in God's principle to multiply you, to grow you, to stretch you. But where is your heart at? What do you need to believe for? What seed are you sowing? See, because, you know, we see in John 10:10, right? We all know this verse, that the enemy, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And we saw that in those first three seeds, that the enemy wants to steal those seeds from the ground, catch them before anything can happen. But God comes to give life, and life more abundantly. And I think that's a great parallel that we see. Not only did he have life to the seed, but it was life more abundant, and that's where the multiplication come. That's where the life can come in your life. That's where the multiplication in your life takes place. It's kind of quiet tonight. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Come on, this is where I was getting excited. Because God is just so good like that. God, see, he's not like me and you where, you know, eye for an eye. He's like, hey, I'm gonna take your seed and I'm going to multiply it. So tonight, again, if you're taking notes, we're going to get into this part. We're talking about lessons from failed seed. Lessons from failed seed. Because don't you know that sometimes you learn more when you fail a couple times than when you get it right the first time around? Come on, that's a word for somebody. Sometimes you learn more from the times that you messed up than if you would have gotten it right the first time around. Because you might think that you just did something right or that you're that special. But watch out. Mess around and miss it a couple times and you, oh, shoot. When I did it that way, this happened. Or even in planting, right? Like, oh, when I took these roots, if I put them out too long, or if I did this, or if I cut it too short here, what are some areas in your life that you've messed up? But the word for you today is your mistakes, your mess-ups, God can use those to teach you something so that you can now succeed. So lessons from failed seed. Picking up in Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read 18 and 19. 18 and 19. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is one on whom seed was sown beside the road. So what it's saying, that first one that we saw in the first section of Scripture, the one that was on the side of the road. So what happened is the enemy came, and if you don't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Now that doesn't sound fair. Wait, so I didn't understand it, so the evil one comes and takes it away? May I present to you this thought? That this word understand means put faith to it. If you're taking notes, number one, have faith in his word. See, because I believe that when it says not understand, it means that there is no faith in the seed. That the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we know that when we hear a word, if we don't attach faith to it, you're not understanding the power of that word. You get what I'm saying? So here goes the seed, and it's saying it wasn't understood. And so because it wasn't understood, it was taken away. But what I present is that what it means is that the word went forth, the seed went out, but because there was no faith put onto that word, they didn't understand the power of what that word meant, and that's why it got taken away, because there was no faith attached to it. Right? If I were to tell you, the first person to come up to this stage gets a $5 bill. Right? Oh, see, Jared. There you go, Jared.
Thank you, brother.
Thank Pastor Dan. He gave me that $5. So what happened here? What happened here? He believed that there was power to the word I said. And if he didn't understand it, that opportunity would have got snatched right up. He put faith into the word. See, because if we are not putting faith onto an area of our life, and when we read the Bible, or when the preacher or a teacher is telling us something that the Bible is saying, and oh, that's not for me. You missed it. You didn't understand it, and now that seed gets snatched away. See, but what Jared did right now was he put faith on that word that I really had $5, because it sounded like it was just an illustration. Why didn't the rest of you come up? Because, oh, he's just giving an example, right? But that opportunity was about to be snatched from you because you didn't put faith onto what I was saying. Hey, I have $5 for whoever comes up here first. Do you get what I'm saying? Is that making sense? So if we don't put faith on it, then we're not understanding, and that's when the enemy comes and takes that away. Number two, ground yourself in Jesus. We have to ground ourselves in Jesus. Amen. See, everything has to point back to a relationship with Jesus. Here we are picking up in 20 and 21. 20 and 21. The one on whom seed was sown onto the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and with affliction, or when affliction or persecution arises, because of the word, it immediately falls away. So it immediately falls away. So I think we've all seen this. We've all seen people come. We've seen people come to the altar, get super excited. There's a great message. Oh my gosh, get super excited, tears, and everything. And this is not a knock on anyone. This is not a knock on anyone's situation. But we see the scripture come to life too often because people come, they get touched and get all the feels of a great message, Holy Spirit goosebumps. But what happens is it was based on the idea of a thought. It was based on the idea of a premise. Can I get Junior out here for a second? See, because if we're not grounding our relationship, if we're not grounding everything to a relationship with Jesus, then we take the idea of the seed, something with power, and then it can go away. So So this here is, well, this is not anything super cool. Thank you, Junior. This is like a, it's called a buffer, a carpet buffer. And I was looking for something like a really more power tool, right? But this looks pretty cool enough. And don't mess, I'll mess around and scrub the mess out of a carpet with this thing. Okay, it's not a saw or drill. But let's say this extension cord, this represents us. This represents our life. This represents who we are. So you can come and you can hear a great, powerful word. Oh my gosh, the Lord wants to bless me. The Lord wants to wash away all my sins. Everything that I've ever done, and I've done some stuff, the Lord's washing it away. The Lord's taking it away. Or man, if I do this, God's just going to bless me. I can attach myself to that. That is a good word. And this isn't the right thing, but you get what I'm saying here. I need an adapter on this, bro. Amen. I'm going to attach myself to that powerful word. I'm attaching myself to the word. But too many times, we forget about this end. And we say, oh my gosh, that was so good. And we become the seed that's like, I got so excited. God's going to change my life. And he washed away all my sins. But then what happens? I lose the job. My girlfriend breaks up with me. My heart gets broken. People offended me in the church. And then I detach myself from that power, that word. And what happens? I lose it. And I forgot to attach myself to Jesus. Because it was never attached to a relationship. I got excited by the prospect. I got excited about the possibility of this powerful tool, this power in my life. Has anyone ever been on a diet before? I have. Only a couple hands. Come on, you guys are lying in church. You guys know. See, and the reason why you're not raising hands is because you're not still on it. Like me. See, but what happens on a diet is we get excited about the prospect. Maybe you print out the picture of the model with the abs, and you're like, guys, this is going to be me, right? You start following the social media accounts, YouTube videos of, oh my gosh, life transformation in 30 days. I'm going to have a six-pack in 30 days, 30 minutes, right? J-Lo diet, right? And so we attach ourselves to the prospect of what the diet is. But then what happens? Let someone bring donuts. I'm speaking for myself. Let someone bring donuts and it's over. What diet? What diet? See, but it was easy when there was no donuts around. It was easy when, oh my gosh, I live by Sprouts and it's amazing. Right? I live by Trader Joe's and all there is power plants and it's just great. Like, or what's that? And it's just like, I don't know what that was. And it's but you know, it's just, it's so great. This diet's gonna change my life. But if I don't ground it on the idea of a life change, you get what I'm saying? See, because why do we break our diets? Because it just got too hard. And I wasn't really sold out on the idea of a life change. I just thought I'd like the six pack, right? And so, oh wait, I can't eat any donuts? I just thought it was like, you know, maybe once a week. Or it's the same thing like, oh wait, so I have to continue to attend church? I have to continue to be accountable to people? I have to continue to serve? I have to, wait, so it's not just like the powerful message, the messages that like encourage me? So there's going to be times where the message or the word of God challenges me or stretches me or requires more of me? Oh man, I don't know. So, but then what it looks like, the fruit of that is it looks like we have, oh yeah, they got really zealously changed or sold out for Christ. They're not going to last. Why do we say that? We've seen it so often, and again, it's not a judgment on those people. But the problem was they didn't connect to Jesus. They didn't ground themselves in relationship. And if we're not careful, if we just go off of the high of a great message, the high of, oh my gosh, the pastor knew my name or called me a leader, or things are going great at work and I'm getting raises, I gave a tithe and the next week I got $10,000. Like, that's great. But what happens when I tithed over and over and I lost my job? And my car broke down, and these things going on around me. If I don't ground myself into the Word of God, if I don't ground myself into a relationship with Jesus, then it all goes away when the good stuff goes away. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible didn't promise that it was always going to be good in our lives. The Bible actually promised just the other opposite, that it was going to be, we're going to approach hardships. There's going to be time. It's going to be hard to be a Christian. There's going to be persecution. There's parts in the world today that people are getting killed for the sake of the gospel. And that's not to condemn us. That's not to make us feel bad. But we have to understand that it's about a relationship with Jesus, not the feel goods of what the prospect of Christianity can be. And you hear, oh, I tried that Christianity thing. And I say, no, you didn't. You thought you were going off of a word. You didn't try a relationship with Jesus. You were never grounded with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because then you would know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that he's not going to see a man asking for bread, because he is a good God and he is faithful. We have to ground ourselves in Jesus. We have to have a relationship with God that says it's more than a fair weather fan. Any Laker fans in the house? It's been a rough few years. You could have hooked up to the idea of LeBron's going to take us to the ship. That was me in July. And then come around Christmas when he got hurt, I was like, ugh. Well, there's still a shot. He'll be back. And then he wasn't back. And then more people got hurt. And now here we are, officially out of the playoffs. I'm still a Laker fan. But anyways, I went sports. Sorry. Okay. But you get what I'm saying? You can't. It's in or out. But that's what's happening to the seeds that we're seeing in this parable. It's going off. It's fair weather ideas. And I'm not trying to get in your face too much tonight. I just want us to have good harvest. I want us to not be. See, again, there was of the four scenarios, there was only one that happened. So there's three different ways, and it's just an idea. There's more than three different ways, and there's more than one way that it will work out for our lives. But the idea is that we have to attach ourselves to the right thing, and we have to be grounded in Jesus. Amen. Lessons from failed seed. Number three. Be on guard. Be on guard. The last one in Matthew 13:22. And the one whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man that hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness and wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The word got choked out. See, it was sown on good soil. Oh, sorry, no, sorry, 22. I got ahead of myself. It was sown among the thorns, and what happens? It got choked out. And this could be, maybe you came to Jesus on a rough time in your life, among some other things. Oh my gosh, life is just, I need something. And that's great. There's a desperation. God can do a lot with a desperate people. And we should all be desperate for God to move in our lives. We should all be desperate for more of him. But the challenge that can happen, when we can see the word or seed choked out in our life, is when now everything that the world is offering becomes cooler, better, more important. See, because too many times, we say, oh my gosh, maybe you can call the thorns your schedule. Come on. Your agenda, the things you have to do this week. And what we do is we try to take these thorns or our schedule, and we say, well, let's just put Jesus in the cracks of these things. Why would you be surprised when your schedule chokes out the word of God? Why would you be surprised when what you put as priority remained a priority? As opposed to removing the schedule, putting Jesus in, and then said everything else will come in. I'm going to go to church this many days a week. Or I'm going to commit to reading this much of my Bible. So now I have only this much time to go on social media or do other things. Or now I only have these many nights out where I'm going to commit myself to other things. Because I know I go to church two nights a week. Or I know I'm going to spend this much of my lunchtime I'll eat for a half hour, and then this 30 minutes, I'm going to go on social media. Oh, wait, no. And then if there's time, then I'll read the Bible. No, I'm going to read the Bible, and then if there's time. You get what I'm saying? The priorities, there's things that choke out our life. There's things that choke out our time. And the thing is, we don't stop to catch them. And I know that this could be a simple concept of a message tonight. But the reason why it was so powerful to me is because I realized what the Lord was saying. The Lord was saying that we get too tied up with other things. See, we can catch word any time we want. Podcasts galore. I love podcasts. I have so many. And then I have Audible with all these Christian books and leadership books and how to do this. And then I have an audio Bible that I can play on my phone. And oh my gosh, and I only have so much driving time. And then I can only have so much time where I have headphones in my ears. And so I can get inundated with all these things, and all these things are great. And it's a great resource, and it's great to do that and listen to worship music. But if we inundate ourselves with things beside a relationship, see, because then we don't get grounded. Then we're going on lofty ideas, principles of Christianity versus relationship Christianity. You get what I'm saying? So there's Christianity by principle, and like, oh, so this is, it's kind of like, this is not a knock on teachers, but like those who can't teach type thing, right? So it's like you became more of a theorist of what it is rather than someone who practices it. You get what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, in theory, I know how to do it. I don't actually do it, but I know how to, right? I know how to live a Christian life, but I don't actually live one. I know how I could make God happy, but I don't. I know how I could worship him because I've read all the books about it, but I don't actually spend the time worshiping him. Ooh, ouch. And now I know why it's quiet. I understand. See, but the reason why I wanted to share this with you, now I know why the Lord put it on my heart to share with all of us. Because we just need to step back sometimes. We need to step back because, you know, another definition for that word of choke is crowd around. We're crowded around by too many things that we don't need to have crowding around us. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's types of music. Maybe it's movies. Maybe it's Netflix. Whatever it might be, there are so many things that it could be that could crowd around us that would choke out the good word. Hey, I went to church Sunday morning. I heard an amazing word. And then I went around my week, and then I went on binge Netflix for this many hours, or did this, and I'm not knocking any of these things, understand me, because I'm right there with you. But the challenge is, what are we going to do? What do we want fruit in our lives? Yeah. What is going to be a priority? Hey, you want to watch Netflix? Great. But is Jesus first? Is Jesus the priority? Is your relationship with Jesus first? Does serving get a part of your schedule? Who gets the leftover time? Like I said, we just had a baby. I'm now a proud parent of two beautiful children, and I understand that. Oh my gosh, time management. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with trying. Can I be honest with you? I'm struggling trying to figure out time management. Wait, I actually have to sleep too. Wow, didn't realize that. It'd be so much better if you didn't have to sleep, right? And we're managing time and trying to figure out. And I don't want to now. You know, here's this miracle, beautiful baby. And then now all I do is just everything else but worship the God who made the miracle happen. See, for too long we've gotten the answer to our prayers that we talked about. We were believing for something and then all of a sudden people disappear from church. We've heard it so many times. God rescues you. God bails you out again. And then we turn our back on the God that rescued us. We're just about done. The last verse, 13:23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. We know understands it, puts faith on it, and who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So we understand the word that was sown. We put faith on it that it's true. And we put it into practice in our life. We believe it. We ground it to a relationship with Jesus. We ground the powerful word into something that's more than just a powerful word and say, God, you're going to make it happen. Whether I see it tomorrow or 2 years from now, you're the God that's going to make it happen. And then we don't let anything choke out that word. We don't let anything come into our life that's going to overcrowd our space, overcome a word that was put in our lives. And then all of a sudden, a miracle takes place. It catches. The word goes down and multiplication happens because that is the God that we serve. 100, 60, 30-fold. Come on, if God spoke to you tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.